Trees crash to their knees as we rise up and worship.
You're listening to WCNO, Palm City.
You know, believe in Jesus, but a different type of faith. And I go to this church and I hear this worship music and I hear the message of the Bible. I said, this is it. This is what I need. This is what I need. And I never turned back. I never looked back. I started preaching immediately. I started telling people my testimony. I would go to the missions in New York City where they would feed the homeless. And I would go in there as a cop in uniform and say, I got to talk to you guys. You got to hear this. If Jesus delivered me, he could deliver you. I don't care what your issue is, what your problem is, how screwed up you are. He delivered me. And I was preaching almost immediately in missions. Got involved in church. Got baptized. You know, was on fire. And never looked back. Never looked back. And I just continued to serve the Lord and became a pastor. First part-time in the ministry, then full-time while I was a cop. Then I wound up leaving the police after prayer and seeking God. I felt it was my time there to go. I transitioned from part-time in ministry to full-time. I was in the financial services industry a couple of years, about 5 years. I did that on the side other than doing security. So I did that for a few years, and then I went into full-time ministry. And I've been in full-time ministry now for 22 years, either pastoring a church or as an evangelist. For 22 years, I've been serving the Lord. And when I do these PTSD trainings now and I share my story with cops, I tell them, the biggest problem we have as cops is evidence. You're looking at the evidence. 30 years later, I'm still here. I'm still smiling. No more Iceman. No more evil. I didn't blow my brains out. I'm here. I'm happy. I'm serving God. You want to know why? It's because of Jesus Christ. That's why. Jesus Christ, you saved me on that roof. He delivered me and he set me free. And that's my message. And I'm going to tell everybody I have an opportunity to tell. And how God's given me the ability to do that without proselytizing is I'm trained to teach PTSD and critical incident stress and suicide awareness. And then what I do is when I'm done teaching it, I say, now I'm going to tell you my personal story. I am not proselytizing. I'm not trying to convert you. If you get converted, that's great. But I'm telling you my story, what worked for me. And then I share my testimony. That's how I do it.
Well, I think that's great. Now, of course, I just want to let everybody know we're talking with Andrew Columbia, and he's now Pastor Andrew Columbia. He's a former cop in New York City. He's written a book. It's called Transformed, How God Changed the Heart of an Angry, Prejudiced Cop. And this whole story, I would recommend you get it, buy a few copies, and give them away to people, particularly those that have anger issues. What amazes me is that you tell this story with the same enthusiasm as if it happened just last week.
Yes, it's that powerful.
This is amazing.
Well, you know, Rhett, God has given me opportunity to share with a lot of police officers. And being a part of the Billy Graham Rapid Response Team, which I've been a part of since 2015, I've been able in the past to travel the country and speak to law enforcement officers and share my story. And I share it straight. I don't pussyfoot or tiddlywink around it. I give it straight because cops can handle it and they need to hear it that way. And I got to tell you, so many of them have come to Christ and dealt with issues, hearing that somebody else has been through what they're going through and made it out to the other side. And that's really what it's all about.
How do you get these gigs? I mean, you don't go into a precinct in Ohio and say, hey, everybody, come on out to this auditorium on Friday night, and this cop who found Jesus is going to preach at you. I mean, how do you manage to get these unsaved or troubled police officers to come and hear you speak?
Well, you know what? God has a way of making ways where there seems to be no way. Through being a chaplain, I have opportunities to talk to officers one-on-one. Also, I have training opportunities, like I just said, where at the end of the training, I share my personal story, and I'm in the process right now of going for more training right now just to update the training. So I can continue to do that, so I can continue to share my personal story, because it brings hope. And, you know, again, everything with cops are very cynical because we see the dark side of humanity. But you know what? They need to see the light, too. And I tell them, you want to see evidence? You're looking at it. Here's the evidence. I'm still standing.
This is so cool. That's such a cool story. Wow. There's a lot of things I want to discuss with you, though, is now that you are part of the Billy Graham, this emergency group. By the way, I got to interview Dr. Graham, and I would like you to know that I don't know if you got a chance to meet him, but he was simply the humblest, kindest man I think I ever met in the entirety of my life. He was so real, you know?
That's, you know, I've heard that from, I've never got the chance to meet him personally. I've met his son, Franklin, and I've met his grandsons, Ed and Will and them, but I have not met Billy. But you know what? God exalts the humble. And Billy Graham, everybody I've ever met that spoke to me about him said he was one of the humblest men they ever met.
Oh, he was. When I was interviewing him, I broached the subject of humility, and he leaned in. And he said, well, Rhett, if we're talking about it, we haven't got it.
Wow.
But
wow.
He was so kind. I was my dad was an attorney at law, and he was killed in a car accident the day before my fifth birthday. So I never had a dad. You know, from the age of five on, I never really had a dad. And when Dr. Graham met me, it had been the Jeb Bush's inauguration, and we'd been out in the cold, and I came inside, and he looked at me, and he said, are you okay? He said, your face is kind of red. And I said, oh, yeah, it's just it's cold outside here in Tallahassee, you know. And what amazed me is I would think back on that for years and wondering why it affected me. So, well, it's the one time that a man, you know, here he is. He leaned in. He cared about me as a person. And he wasn't concerned about the interview. He didn't care about any of that baloney of man's fleeting fame or who he was or who I was or anything. He cared about me as an individual. And one thing I think the Lord has taught me, and I bet you you'll agree, is I met a famous governor, I won't say who, and I noticed somebody came up to shake his hand, and he shook the hand, but he also looked over this young man's shoulder to see who else was there. And I was so disappointed in this person's character because it taught me that if you can't care about one, then you cannot care about 1 million. And so God watches the way each one of us treat each other and respect. Now, I want to get into grieving here. Now, by the way, in case you've just tuned in, we're talking with a pastor. He's Pastor Andrew Columbia. He has written a book called Transformed, How God Changed the Heart of an Angry, Prejudiced Cop. So it's called Transformed by Andrew Columbia. You might want to order a copy, order two or three, and pass them out. I'd like to have you come to Florida and maybe be able to speak about PTSD to a group of cops, and then you can tell your testimony down here. But I want to talk about grieving. I told you I lost my dad the day before my fifth birthday. I've had a lot of deaths. I lost my only brother on 9/11. He was not in New York City, but it was collateral damage, and that's, we'll just leave it at that, you know. And and so a lot of things have come my way. Alcoholic parents. My mother was an alcoholic until I was 15, and then she went to a place where alcoholics get dry, and she lived over 40 years sober with a man she met at that place, and they got married and had a wonderful second half of her life sober. And so things can happen, but when you're talking about grieving or a relationship ends, now you said you had a marriage that ended, and I had
yes.
a love relationship that ended abruptly, and it was, and I still remember 30 years later. So I want to talk about grieving because Jesus clearly said, "Let he who begins to plow for the kingdom of God and continues to look back is rendered of no service to the kingdom of God." How do you? I saw a book that said how to get through what you'll never get over. In other words, you won't get over the death of a relationship, but you can get through it. And so, I'd like to know how you handle grieving.
That's a great question. You know, as you were talking, a verse came to me, right? It's the shortest verse in the Bible. John 11:35. Jesus wept. And what does that verse signify? That Jesus, the Son of God, in his flesh, grieved. What was he weeping over? The death of his friend Lazarus. Why was he weeping? Because he saw the pain of Martha and Mary, the sisters of Lazarus. And they said, if you only got here a little bit earlier, you could have saved our brother. And he felt that pain and emotion. God himself experienced grieving in so many ways so that he could understand his creation. But he did something spectacular. He told them that Lazarus was going to come back to life, and he rose Lazarus from the dead. God makes all things new, and there is a time and a season for everything in life. There's a time to live and a time to die. And even the death of relationships, where, you know, a divorce is like a death, because you're with someone, you're embedded with them physically, emotionally, spiritually. If you have children, you have children with them. And then all of a sudden that relationship ends. There's some deep wounds and scars with divorce. That's why the Bible says God hates divorce, by the way, because the effects of it are there. But God allows us to grieve for times and seasons. And if we trust him in the grieving and turn to him in the grieving, he will allow us to heal, and then he will bring restoration. And that looks different for different people. I'm remarried. God brought me a wonderful wife, a godly woman who loves him, who went through a situation very similar to me, what I went through. Had a first marriage, and it didn't work out, but God brought us together, and we serve him faithfully. And I look back in retrospect, and I say this: I would not change one thing to get where I am today, which tells me that God is good all the time. And there's a verse in Romans 8:28, and it says this, that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes.
Yeah.
So if you're in relationship with Jesus, you're going to go through it. It says in James that trials and tribulations are useful. Consider it pure joy in trials and tribulations of all kinds, because these things are producing something. They're producing endurance and perseverance. They're actually making us stronger. In our weakness, our dependency turns from us to God. And it's through those times and seasons of struggle and hardship that God is refining us, fine-tuning us, healing us, restoring us, eventually to bless us. So that's what I've learned about grieving. It's a process.
Well, you know, I always look at what they said about Jesus. The Bible says he was a man acquainted with many sorrows. He was a man acquainted with many sorrows. Now, we don't know what happened to him before he had his ministry, but...
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
Blessed is the morning sky, revealing your perfect light, O star of the morning. There is no depth or height where I can escape your sight, O King of glory. Heaven and earth will pass away, but you will still